desire me. Yes, you made me. It's a mercy. Oh, yes, you made me. My confidence in you. sufficient faithful is.
Father, we came this morning lifting up holy hands, God, desiring to be in the presence of the Most High God. Abba, Daddy, desiring, longing to be with you, Lord. Longing to be with you.
Soul, and let all that's within to you. Oh, I give myself away. 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 To you, Lord, I give myself away.
simultaneously. He tears a little down and then he builds up. He tears a little down and he builds up. Simultaneously going on in his body, always, always. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, God, that in the wilderness waters shall break out and streams in the desert. And as this happens, a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The way of holiness. And the lion can't come in and steal, because only the redeemed can walk there. The ransomed bride from her kinsman redeemer ransomed. And the ransomed of Jehovah shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It shall flee away. It shall flee away. Thank you. Bless you, God.
The desert places are looking like the promised land. The desert places are looking like the promised land. No more dryness, river flowing. No more dryness, the river's flowing.
Up at 5 a.m. this morning, and I had was so tired. And he had given me a dream. And I'm going to tell you the dream because I feel so compelled to do so. But in the dream, I had a baby. And I was carrying it on my hip. And I was walking around the house and I was working. And the baby started crying and I knew the baby was hungry. So I went and made food. And then I got distracted and I started to clean the house again. And the baby was on my hip. And then I felt like I needed to go upstairs and go to the bathroom. So as I go up the steps, I look at the baby and the baby, its face is covered in mucus. Because it's sick. And I did not know that the baby was sick because I was too busy paying attention to the temporal things, the things around me. And I walked into the bathroom and I'm holding a sick baby on my hip. And my downstairs is very clean. And my baby's hungry and I made the food, but I didn't feed my baby. And then I went upstairs when I ended up going up the steps. There's a progression walking up steps. In dreams, oftentimes steps means growth. Going up means going up in the spirit. So the Lord was taking me up to this place where he was showing me. He had given me words and I was afraid to give them to you because they were hard words. That was a chicken. And this weekend, the Holy Spirit called me out on that. And he said, no more. No more. No more. No more. So having said this, the Lord spoke to us. And of course, this dream called me out. And the Lord, here's what the Lord, the last thing he said was, you pay attention to what is temporal when you have what is eternal on your hip. Remember the baby. You have what is eternal on your hip, but you pay attention to what is temporal because you don't want to deal. And I was like, that's not fun, but okay. So I've said time and time again, if we do wrong, God has, he calls us out, and then we have to be transparent before you because we're responsible for our heart. And my heart has not been one. The Lord spoke to me weeks ago and he said, Chandler was up here being prayed for and Willie. They were up here being prayed for and I wasn't seeing healing. And I said, Holy Spirit, why are they not being healed? And he said, because you have no compassion. I was like, no compassion? I'm compassionate. He was like, no, no you're not. And I said, I am. I'm compassionate. We're compassionate. This body is compassionate. And I was like, I was arguing with the Holy Spirit. And then when I had the dream, the Lord says, compassion corrects. Compassion and love correct. Even if it hurts. Even if it hurts. Because that's what true love is. And so I come before you and I repent for not giving the words that I'm supposed to say. So I'm going to say them. We have filthy garments in this house, and the Lord is saying, get yourself in the water of the Word, get in the truth of the Word, and get clean. No longer walk around wearing filthy garments. What's going on is we don't even realize they're filthy. It's, you know, when Jesus talked about the sepulcher, it was white on the outside, but on the inside, it was dead men's bones. Yeah, some of us are walking around and we look on the outside fine. We're saying the right things, but on the inside are dead men's bones. You all know, they call me Mama Tony for a reason because I'm just very loving and maternal and sweet. And now the Lord is saying, there's a balance with that. You're loving and you're sweet, but love corrects. Am I right, Rainbow? Love corrects. He's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about. I've done this to him in private. But that's not something I do publicly very often. So I'm repenting publicly before you for not doing this and saying, and that you hold me accountable. I love you and I want you to be free and I want you to be healthy and I want you to be well and walking in the truth of the Word of God. And that's our responsibility, to walk in the truth. So if you know this is you in your heart, begin to speak to him and ask him, Holy Spirit, we don't have to lay hands on you for this. Jesus is all-powerful, all-knowing. We don't have to lay hands on you for this. You know in your own heart, you know who you are. If you are walking and you're unclean and you know you are because you're participating in things that you know you you shouldn't be. Or it could be something as simple as just flat out disobedience on something that you wouldn't even consider to be like a sin. Maybe the Lord's told you to do something and you have not done it. That is sin. Things like worry. That worry is a sin. It's a sin. It's flat out sin. It's not trusting God. So it can be things that are hidden and small, but they're big. They're big, but they hide. They hide in us. Things we're used to. Lying. We call them little white lies. Those kinds of things. Those are the things that dirty our garments. It's not just pornography. It's not just the big sins, adultery, and you know, being a thief. To jail for this, that, and the other. It's not always those things. The bride can be dirty because she hides little things. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And the Lord is wanting to do a work in this body, and the way that we're going to get that done is to have a cleansing in the body. It has to be done. He has work to do, things for us to do. If we're not willing, left by the wayside. Joey gave our worship team a prophetic word, and in it he said, the Lord says there's people in the outer court who don't want to come into the inner court and have no desire to be in the Holy of Holies. They want Moses to go for them. But the Lord was saying to us, you're priests. You belong in the Holy of Holies. You're priests. You belong in the Holy of Holies. You are priests. You leadership of this church's job. It's not the worship team's job. It's not the teacher's job in the church. It is your job to go into the Holy of Holies. And the only way that you can get there is with clean hands and a pure heart. With clean hands and a pure heart, says the Lord.
All morning I've known the Holy Spirit wanted to do something. I feel this in my stomach. I'm telling you, the Lord is the fear of the Lord. Please hear what I'm telling you. If you've got dirty things in your life, I understand the time factor, but we don't need to move past this. I feel a fear of the Lord on the inside of me. There are people in this room that are participating in things that are not of God. And you need to come forward and you need to bow. This is urgent. If you don't let go of some of the things you're playing with, there's danger ahead for you. I'm just telling you. So I want to open up the altar. And I want you to come up here and I want you to release some things. There's somebody in here that's messing with drugs and you're faking yourself out thinking it's prescription and you're okay. You need to come clean right now in this moment. Come on, I'm telling you, you need to run to the altar this morning. I'm not going to beg you, but I'm going to tell you this. If you know you got stuff in you and the Lord is dealing with you and you don't release it this morning, I'm telling you, I feel the fear of the Lord. You need to let Him deal with you. You need to come in repentance and brokenness. Come on, I'm going to let Roger sing this. And as the Lord deals with you, you need to release it. You need to repent of things that you're playing with that the Lord has already spoken to you about. Holy fear of the Lord, grip this house.
Take me past the outer court into the holy place.
Get right, get free, come on.
An altar. Lord, I wanna see your face. Take me by the crowds of people. Please see your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. It's only found in one place. Take me into the holy, holy. The blood.
Come on, there are all kinds of sexual issues in this room. There are all kinds of sexual issues in this room that need to be dealt with right now.
Take hold, touch my lips, here I am. Take me into the holy. Lord, I want to see your face. Take me past the crowds of people, the priests who say your name. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. It's only
come on, some people in this room, your garment is dirty because you're offended. You're harboring offense in your heart toward people. You've got anger and bitterness. You cannot move any farther in His presence. Lay down your offense this morning. It's got you dirty. You're dirty with offense.
Holy, take hold. Touch my lips. Here I am. Take me to the Holy of Holies. Take me in to the blood of the Lamb.
Pornography, take masturbation, deal with it right in this room, right now.
Holy of Holies. Take hold, touch my lips.
Anger toward church leaders. Come on, you're not going in. You can't come into the holy place with that on you. You better let that pastor go, sir. You better release him right now. I know you think you're right, but you've risen up in pride also. And you need to humble yourself. You cannot come where he has for you. Repent, says the Lord. Repent, says the Lord. Repent, says the Lord. Be clean, be clean, be clean in my sight. Your spouse, right here's the place for you right now. There's anger in this room towards spouses, and your prayers are not being answered because of the bitterness in your heart towards spouses.
Lay down your crown, but lay down your idols. Take off your garments, your filthy garments, and let him cleanse you. Let him give you a heart of purity, a heart of holiness. That is the only way that we're going to see God. Holy. Come on, just say it with me. Holy. foundation of our faith. We recognize that you are holy. And this ground must be holy ground. This ground must be holy ground. We are a generation that are pressing in to the presence of the Almighty God, for He is holy. Holy. There's no other way, saints. Holy is the way. We are a generation that don't know what holiness is, but the Almighty God, He has come to reveal His holiness so that a people may know the way. In a time of darkness, there's a way in the wilderness. There's a way in the wilderness, and that way is holy. Father, cleanse your people with the washing of your word. And Father, right now we take authority over every power of darkness right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we release ministering spirits in this place for those whose heart is hard. Father, by your grace, soften their heart. You said a broken and contrite heart I will not despise, but that is what I require of my people. That is a sacrifice that I require, a broken and contrite heart. Put down your idols. Lay them at the altar. Prepare. Sanctify yourself, for you have not been this way before. As Moses brought the people to the mountain, we are coming to the place of the mountain of the Almighty God. We are coming to Mount Zion, where the power and the presence of the Almighty God will rest upon His people again. Holy. Father, right now, we seal your fire of coals in our hearts. We seal the fire of coals in our hands. We seal the fire of coals on our lips. And Father, we just ask right now as a people that you would forgive us for our sins, that you would cleanse us, that you would have mercy upon your people. Forgive us, Father, for coming before you with filthy garments. But God, as you allowed Joseph to come in Isaiah 6 to come before you, you placed upon him clean garments. Father, place upon us clean garments and give us a mitre around our head so that we may have the mind of Christ to do the will of our Father. Father, we thank you. We seal it now in the name of Jesus. Holy. Holy. Holiness unto the Lord. And we thank you and we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Pentecostal, sometimes we think, you know, we came up here. natural up here, but now you have to walk it out. Okay? I want you to listen to Ephesians 4, starting with 17. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. The title of this is The New Man. The New Man. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, the Zoe, the life, the Spirit of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of their blindness in their heart. Now, when we think of ignorance, sometimes we think, why'd you cut me down? We're just talking about a lack of knowledge. They did not know. This morning, you know. The Spirit of God came in here, the presence of God came in here and convicted you of what you know is wrong. It says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to the lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. This morning you have learned Christ. You are learning Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, the truth shall set you free. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but you can come in here and pray in tongues, but that doesn't mean you're in good standing with God. You can come in here and be slain in the Spirit, and that does not mean you are in good standing with God. You can even receive revelation from the throne room, and that does not mean that you are in good standing with God. That doesn't mean that you have a pure heart, that you have been cleansed. That does not mean that. I want to help you, because some of you come up here to pray about some things that you have been dealing with for a long time. And you're thinking, because you had this encounter, you're going to walk out of here and you're not going to have to deal with it again. But you're going to have to do some things when you walk out of here. I was prescribed pain medication for back pain. And the next thing you know, I'm back on pain medication again. I've been through these things. I've been through looking at the wrong things on the internet. I'm telling you. There's some things you have to do. You had an encounter in here. There's some things that you have to do. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You done something. You made a step towards putting off. You came up here. You had an encounter, but it has to go further than the encounter. And this is what I see in charismatic circles all the time. They think God just come, wham, pow, zaps, and they hear a testimony, and they never dealt with it again. But you're going to walk out of here, and maybe within this week, you're going to be presented with the same situation and the scenario again, but you have to put off. Which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, to put on the mind of Christ, to be renewed by the spirit of your mind. Listen, guys, some of you are dealing with what you're dealing with because you don't have a prayer life and you don't have a devotional life. And if you walk out of here and you got emptied out of some junk, you better fill that back up with something. You're watching the wrong things on TV. You're watching the wrong things on the internet. You're listening to the wrong things. And yet you think you're going to walk in freedom. You have to walk in the things of Christ. And I know there's teachings out there that don't really go after holiness. And we say grace is so good. He's covered all of that. But I'm telling you, as someone who's had to deal with this, you have to walk these things out. I had an experience with God the week before last, and He kept speaking to me. I'm placing the seven spirits of God in you. I'm placing the seven spirits in you. And I want you to know that He began to deal with my flesh, and things began to come out of me that I didn't even know that was in there. But I don't know about you. I want to be full of the fullness of God. I don't want to be full of the things of the world. I want the fullness of God. Renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. I tell the young people this all the time. When I go home, I can't say, shoes, get off my feet. Shoes, get off my feet. Shoes, get off my feet. They never will until I take them off my feet. And then when I go out the house, I have to put them back on again. It's so simple. But you're going to have to adjust some things. You're going to have to change some things. Don't just let an encounter with God. Yes, I'm not minimizing this at all. But I know that I have walked in the presence of God and been hammered by the presence of God, only to walk out there and continue with the same lifestyle. I believe, I prophesy that true righteousness and true holiness, the real truth, is coming back to the house of God. And if it has to start with us, I'm okay with that. Come on, Lord, come. Lord, come.
Hey, guys, I know there's been a lot of word come forth, but how many of y'all know the power of death and life is in the tongue? When we hear the word of God, it really starts to break things off of our life and take us in the right direction. And I was just playing the drums, and Dole was ministering about, you know, people being offended and holding on to the fact that they think that they're right. And I just felt like God was saying that there are some situations in here that happen to some people, and you are right in the way you think about it, but it's not about being right or wrong. It's about being righteous, all right? Do you want to hold on to the fact that you're right, or do you want to be righteous? Because listen, if you make it about being right and wrong, then that's eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But if you make it about being righteous, that's eating from the tree of life, and that trumps the situation and the circumstance of right and wrong that's going on in your life. All right, and that lets the light shine in the darkness in the way that it couldn't before. So put your pride down. It doesn't matter what happened. How many of y'all know that pastors and leaders aren't perfect either? Amen. Come on, and God's doing a work in them as well. So don't make it about being right. Make it about being righteous. Amen.
I had a vision this morning right as Tony had started worship. And I could see a babbling brook, and it was flowing, and it was coming down from a mountaintop. It was a beautiful, quiet, green, serene, just peace. Was flowing over stones, and the Lord said, those stones are you lively stones. It's bringing a refreshing, a cleansing, because he said this brook is pure, it's uncontaminated. And he said, know that this brook is coming from the waterfall at the top of the mountain. So I just really believe God's wanting to bring that stream, and I could see it. I didn't write this down. I could see it coming under the pews. I could see the brook just flowing between people's feet. That's all I had.
Amen. Amen. Before we even ask the children to come up, I'm just going to ask the sister. She asked if we would just stand up also. She asked if we would pray. And see, something about when there's a presence of God in this place, and even as they was mentioning, there's a purity, streams of purity that's cleansing us. There's holiness. There's a burden that's lifted in this place. There's freedom in this place. And see, sometimes when that atmosphere has come in, you want to be saturated in it. You want to be marinated in it. You want to be pickled in it. And right now, she just asked right now if we would just pray that the same anointing of holiness, purity, and righteousness would be saturated in this banner, and that this banner would go forth out of this house as a declaration of holiness, as a declaration of righteousness, as a declaration of purity. If you would lift your hands and point to the flag, amen, the light that is in you, we just ask, Father, that you would saturate this flag. That, Father, this flag would go forth in darkness, and it would be a beacon of holiness, a call to holiness. When those that see this flag raised, they would know that it is a call to righteousness, to sanctification, to purity. We seal it, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, and we thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We want to ask children to come up. Amen. Can you feel the liberty in here? It's the Lord. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for our children. And Father, right now, we just release, Lord, that same anointing of holiness upon each and every one that's in here. That, Father, that these children would go forth as burning coals of fire, calling a people back to holiness. That, Father, they may not be contaminated by the things of this world, but that their hearts may be pure, and that they will ascend the heel of the Lord in Psalms 24, lifting up clean hands and with pure heart. This is the generation that will see the face of God. We thank you, God, that your face is being revealed in each and every one We thank you, God, for the anointing of holiness and righteousness and the banner of breakthrough. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you for each and every one. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let everybody say, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask also, amen, if you want to take up an offering, amen. I want to ask that you all get your best offering. How many of you is waiting on a breakthrough? Nobody in here is waiting on a breakthrough? I mean, you know, sometimes you got to just open confession. Put it up there. Amen. We just ask that you would give, give according to your heart. Amen. So let God bless you. Again, I can tell you many stories regarding giving that in my life, that because of my giving and because of the sacrifice, God has blessed us. But I'm not going to go into any of those stories. But again, I want to encourage you, if you're waiting on a job, if you're waiting on a breakthrough, sometimes you got to give your way out. You have to learn to give your way out. And as you give, God will bring, he will bring breakthrough. And again, I can look at some of you all in here. Many of you all have sacrificed, you've given, and God has given you breakthrough in the area of your life, family members, finances. But again, God desires to give more. Amen? Amen.
Y'all know what time it is. Whenever I get the microphone. Okay, guys, we have a couple of announcements. Okay, so on Tuesday, March 12th, all my men, just wave a hand at me. It's not a trick question. This is for you. We're having an authentic manhood meeting. It's at 7 p.m. on March 12th. So you guys come out to that and just fellowship and have a good time. Also, we're having a prayer watch. It's going to be March 16th. That's on a Friday from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. More details to follow on that. Super exciting. Also, Pure Life Singles are having an outing March 17th. That's a Saturday at Applebee's at 5:30. And then afterwards, they'll be heading to Bluefield College to see a play. So that'll be super fun. So come out to that, all you single peeps. All right. Women of Purpose meeting is going to be March 24th at 10 a.m., which is a Saturday. Also, who had some peanut butter eggs this last go-round? They were so good. I don't think I could just say that enough because they were so good. We are selling more of those to go towards missions. Scheduled prep days are March 22nd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and March 23rd, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So please come out and help make those, and then you get to eat them. All right, we're going to be offering CPR and first aid classes starting in April for anyone interested. The cost will be $15 if you would like to attend. So please see Charisse for further details on that. That is also super awesome. Also, True Value of a Woman Conference with Bishop Jackson is coming to Father's House June 1st and 2nd. That is so awesome, guys. You are not going to want to miss out on that. Flyers will be posted probably in the back, so just keep an eye out for that. Also, Encounter Worship Service tonight at 6. Guys, come out. These are so great. Like, if you just love to bask in God's presence, just please, please, please come out with us in fellowship and worship and just spend time with the Father. All right, we're going to pray really quick before we get into the Word, you guys. Hey, Jesus, I just come to you today, God, and I just thank you for your presence that is in this place and that is just enveloping all around us, God. I just thank you for everything that you are doing in our hearts and around us, God. I pray, oh God, that you will just let us clearly hear the words that you would have to say today. God, I thank you for anointing, God, Pastor Dole, to give the word today. So, God, I ask that we would just catch it in our hearts and use it for your glory. And we ask you all these precious things in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. I'll use two. That's all right. Come on, can you give me some life in this thing? I always sound like I'm in a barrel, and that's why I yell so much. So I can't hear myself, and that makes me mean. Makes me talk. It is. I have one turned, but I'm not. It still sounds like I'm down in a barrel somewhere. So, that's a little better. It kind of gives me a bassy voice there, though.
At the stern of the ship.
Oh, excuse me, going back to Southern Gospel days. That's one we can do there, Rog. We need to come in here and do the whole ship of Zion. If we're going to do that, that'll be a treat for you right there. Listen, I know that what's going on in here today sometimes can freak people out because they don't live right. And I also know that sometimes when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move like this, it can cause some people to run away. This is why the Seeker Sensitive movement lets people stay in their sin so they can grow their church and get more money. But I want you to understand, I believe, something that's going on here you probably ought to get used to for at least 5 months. Because I believe the Lord does want to release glory in this house. But glory cannot come where there's uncleanness and sin. And so when these kinds of things begin to happen, you don't need to become offended by them. See, when some people will probably go out of here today and say, that church is condemning me. Well, I didn't hear anybody condemning you. The Holy Spirit is coming to cleanse you. So don't let that run you away, but understand, I believe that we are going to enter into something in the last half of 2018 and probably see increase in it in the year of 2019. And in order for the level of glory to come that the Lord intends to come, the house has to be clean. Now, you read a little story in the Bible, and you use it as an excuse to get mad. Preachers use it as an excuse to get mad. And if you go in your Bible, there's a portion of Scripture, and on the top of it will say, Jesus cleanses the temple. That's when he went into the temple, turned over the money changers, he got angry. Yeah, he did. But see, what was he doing? He was cleansing the temple. And we've talked about this in Sunday school and know it for years. But everything that's in the Bible, there is not a single story for the sake of being a story in the Bible. Jesus was giving us a prophetic picture of what has to be done in our own life. He was cleansing the temple. Where's the temple? You're the temple. He was giving us a prophetic message that the temple has to be cleansed for me to live in it. So this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of freedom. This ain't today's message anyway, by the way. I'm in teaching mode and I'm going to stay there. But I need you to understand, don't get condemned. Don't get say they preached on me. No, the Lord has something for this house. And there are things that we've gotten away with in the previous season that we're not going to get away with in the next season. You hear me. I'm not saying you. I'm saying all of us. There are things that we've watched that we will not be able to. There's things that we watch in the outer court that we won't be able to watch in the inner court. There's things that you listen to in the outer court, you're not going to be able to listen to it in the inner court because it's going to make you hurl. It's going to make you sick. There are things that we hang on to. So I believe that he is coming to cleanse his temple, and it's not going to be because we're doing a series on sin. It's because his presence comes. And the scripture says, we're changed as we behold his glory. And there's no doubt in my mind, some people sit in their seat today because they think they're all right. You're not all right. Some of you, the Lord was clearly speaking to you, got issues in your life, and you just, but that's all right. You'll have another chance, I hope. might happen to you this week. But there are people who needed to be on the altar. And see, that's the thing where sometimes we get into error and we start beating people and trying to beat them to the altar. We ain't going to beat you to the altar. But there's coming a cleansing presence to this house that is going to cause us to lay down some things and some pet things that we like that are not necessarily, some things are not necessarily sin in and of themselves. But they separate us from the closeness that He wants to bring us to. So keep that in mind, and just I believe that we're on a ride here that the Lord is coming to cleanse His temple. You see, if He cleanses the temples in here, this place will already be cleansed. What you get on Sunday morning is a combination of everything that's in here. So if everybody in here is clean, wonder what He'll do in here. Kind of hard to cast out devils when you got them in you. Well, I better get into my teaching. So, we've been learning about the Holy Spirit. I will tell you that there are a couple of controversies out there, a couple of misconceptions about the Holy Spirit that I have not taught about yet. Not going to do that, but probably when I start to talk about the gift of prophecy, I'm going to hit those. One of them being, can you pray in tongues anytime you want to? And the other one being, do you have to have an interpreter to pray in tongues in a corporate setting? So if that's going through your mind, we'll get there. It's not where God's taking us today. But please understand, I also know that I've been probably speaking longer than I normally speak. That's because I'm teaching. I'm looking at this as class. You go to a class, it's about an hour and a half. So I want you to be trained and equipped. And I don't want you to come and just get a message. I want to train you up. So I realized that I usually try to keep myself to about 50 minutes. We've went over that, but it's because I'm viewing it as it's training time. Which means, you know, it's a little different atmosphere. If you start watching Larry Jackson on live stream and watch his messages, he's never done before an hour and a half. But it's been my experience. You're sitting there saying, go longer because of the depth of the material. So please understand, two things are going on because of what the Lord is going to do with this house. One, there's going to come a cleansing, and there's going to be a holy people in this house. And that's not condemnation, that's freedom. And then the other thing, though, is there's going to be a people who are really have been trained in how to function in what God's plan for their life is. So that's where we've been trying to teach you about. There's at least 28 gifts in the Bible. I haven't even gotten there yet. We're still been talking about tongues. But I want to read to you right here. I want to show you now. We've been doing some teaching on tongues. So I want to show you right now one of the most important reasons for you to be a speaking in tongues. It's very important for that, for your prayer to be coming forth. And this is one of the main reasons right here. Romans 8:26 says this: likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searched the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So here we find one of the main benefits of tongues in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things you have to understand, I'll show you this later as I get into gifts, but one of the reasons a lot of the church doesn't realize there's not just 9 gifts is because there are multiple lists that mention gifts in the Word of God. And neither one of them are complete. Which tells me there could be some combinations or some other gifts that are not necessarily mentioned in Scripture, because neither list is 100%. So you can see lists and you don't see everything in the same list. So what I'm going to talk to you about today, though, is I believe that two things. I'm going to talk to you about intercession. And I believe that there are some people that have a special gift or grace from God in this area of intercession. But I also believe we're all called to intercession. Point number, this is the third thing. Guess where we're headed as a church? Back to watching. So, Friday night we will have a watch. So next week I might teach some on that. But so there's this gift of intercession. What is this? First of all, let me tell you this. When you gift in the Word of God, we all grew up singing, Amazing Grace. Grace. And our concept has been that grace is to get you saved. No, the same word for gifts in Scripture is the word grace. He has given you gifts. C-H-A-R-I-S. Thus where the charismatic renewal came from. So anytime we talk about gifts, we're talking about a grace that's on your life. When you study the word charis, it means divine enablement. So what gifts actually are is grace. Grace is divine enablement. Now here's why. If you try to do something the Lord has not called you to do, it's not fun. You know why it is? You don't have the grace to do it. On the other hand, when you're functioning in your realm of grace, some of y'all, I'm just going to go with, y'all I have so many people telling me now, you're like, you never stop. And you think he's got to be tired. No. Because I'm in my area of grace. Divine enablement. What would kill one person, the other person's not even breaking a sweat. It's who they are. So you have to understand there's a divine enablement. And it's not natural talent, it's divine enablement. Well, what I'm trying to tell you is there is a divine enablement grace on some people to be intercessors. Now, I believe that we're all called to intercede. And I'm going to show you that. But intercession, this gift, is an ability that God gives to people, certain people, to pray for extended periods of time on a regular basis until they see an answer. Now, behind the scenes, the Lord has really begun to speak to me about this, and we're doing it, and we're seeing the results. I've begun to develop a group of people that I can go and say, look, hit this area right here. And keep hitting it until we win. Well, see, that brings strength to the church. But this intercessory gift is a gift that can take a prayer assignment and pray and pray and pray and take it as an assignment until breakthrough comes. So, but on the other hand, I believe that we're all called to intercession. And if we don't tap into intercession, we're going to be bored when watch time comes. If you're not allowing your prayer, the Holy Spirit to pray through you, it's not too fun to come to prayer watches. So we're trying to get you released so that when the watching begins to take place, the Bible did not say pray only, it said watch and pray. And maybe I'll teach you some on that because it goes along with this. But these people, see, let me ask you a question. And I think there'll be some people in here who don't fluently speak in tongues. But have you ever been minding your own business, watching TV, going through your house, and all of a sudden, something on the inside of you, you just feel, sometimes it's like somebody's going to die, or this sense of unease, this sense of something's not quite right. Well, what is that? That's the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit groaning on the inside of you, needing you to partner with Him about something that's going on that you could interfere in the affairs of the earth. See, intercession is you getting involved in the affairs that are going on in the earth, even though you're not even there. So the way you know this is something begins to come upon you. Well, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Who in here has this happen to them frequently? And you can't explain it. And you think, well, there's nothing wrong with me. Why do I feel this way? The Holy Ghost is wanting to pray through you because somebody's in trouble. I was going to do this at the end. I'm going to do it now. Let me tell you, because I'm in teaching mode, anytime you want to leave, leave. But I want to teach you. Now, let me show you how this works. Let me say this. If you are a prophetic person, if you are a prophet, this will be the first place that it begins to manifest in your life. 90% of the time, someone who has a prophetic mantle, it comes the way I'm telling you right now. They just start to feel something on the inside. They start to feel a burden. They feel a weight. They're like, oh my God, what's going on? It's almost as if you've already received a call that something bad's going to happen. Prophets are first and foremost intercessors. So the way the gifts begins to start activating in your life often is this thing I'm telling you now. But the Holy Spirit then is telling you, I need you to pray. Now, I need you to understand that what happens is you have the ability to interfere or intercept or impact something going on anywhere in the world and you don't even know it. Now, I could find a lot of examples. I wanted to, but I'm going to read you a couple. Here's you a couple of examples. I want you to see. I need you to understand when you start feeling that, the Holy Ghost wants to pray through you. So it's important that you're released in tongues so that you can pray because you may save somebody's life. I can give you story after story of somebody's life that was saved because somebody was in their bedroom praying. Let me give you a couple of examples here. When a missionary to Africa was speaking at a missionary conference in England, a woman asked him, "Do you keep a diary?" When he replied that he did, she said, 2 years ago, I was awakened in the night with a burden to pray." Okay, some of us that are not used to functioning in tongues the way we should, about 3 o'clock,
wide awake.
Can't go back to sleep even. I start rebuking the devil. Well, it might not have been the devil who woke you up. It could be that you need to pray in the Holy Ghost because somebody's life is on the line. I'm trying to tell you, when you understand intercession, it can be a matter of life and death. You could be saving somebody's life. She said, "Do you keep a diary?" When he replied that he did, she said, "2 years ago, I was awakened in the night with a burden to pray. I got out of bed and I was speaking in tongues before I ever got down on my knees." She continued, "I prayed for an hour in the spirit, in tongues. It just seemed as if I was wrestling in the spirit. I did not know what I was praying for, but I was finished praying. But as I finished praying, I had a vision which I saw you in a little old grass-thatched hut. There weren't any other white people there. The natives were gathered around you, and you were extremely sick, and then you died. The natives pulled a sheet up over your head and went outside of the hut. Suddenly," she said, "I saw you come out of the hut and stand in their midst, and they all rejoiced. Did anything like that ever happen to you?" In response, he asked her, "Do you keep a diary?" "Yes," she answered. "Bring your diary this afternoon and I will bring mine and we can compare notes." They had never had any connection with one another before this time. This woman only knew that this man was a missionary. Comparing their diaries and making allowances for the differences in time between the countries of England and Africa, they learned that the time of the woman's prayer burden coincided exactly with the time when the missionary was sick with a deadly fever. The missionary related that his partner had gone to a neighboring village and he had been left alone with the natives. This happened just as she saw them. The missionary had died. The natives saw him and they pulled a sheet over his head. Then suddenly, suddenly, see, the suddenly was caused by a woman who had no idea what she was praying about, but she woke up with a burden. He said, suddenly the missionary rose up well because of the power of God made available through this woman's praying in other tongues. See, I'm not trying to teach you about praying in tongues so we can just come to church and make a bunch of noises. It could be a matter of life and death, because the issue here is the Holy Spirit being able to pray through you and cause something to either happen or not happen, and something that you don't even know about. But the Holy Spirit does know. So, here's you another one. In 1956, when my wife and I were in California ministering, I was awakened suddenly in the night. There you go again. Suddenly. And in the night. It usually doesn't come at an opportune time. It was as if someone had laid a hand on me. I sat upright in bed, my heart beating fast as though I were afraid. You got to begin to understand the intercessory mantle. You feel what they feel. All of a sudden. You're going to have to understand this. There's going to be a lot of people coming here that need deliverance. Guess what's going to happen to you? You might all of a sudden feel anger come over you. But you've got to learn to distinguish when you understand the realm of intercession. Does that anger belong to you? Or are you feeling what's on them? So, it's very disturbing. Intercessors need to understand this. I've seen Tim do this all kinds of times. He's just minding his own business and then he starts acting crazy. Doubled over crying. I mean, just, what happened? It had nothing to do with him. It was what was in that atmosphere. So if you understand this, he says, I felt afraid. And so when you're an intercessor and you begin to plug in prophetically what you feel, the Lord causes you to feel what they feel, and you pray from that perspective until you no longer feel that, and when it lifts from you, you win. And let me say this, if you don't pray, or he doesn't wake somebody else to pray, they croak. Possibly. So I'm trying to get you to see that though there is a selfish aspect to prayer in tongues, because it says when a man prays in tongues, he edifies himself, there is a very unselfish reason that if somebody does not know how to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through them, they cannot impact the lives of other people in the way that Holy Spirit would have them do it. So he wakes up. He's scared. I said, Holy Spirit, you know everything. You're everywhere. You're everywhere present at once, as well as dwelling within me. Whatever is the matter, please. Now we pray in tongues as the Holy Spirit gives utterance. So when I feel this burden way down deep on the inside of me that I can't explain, I say, Holy Spirit, you bring forth the utterance that causes me to address this situation. So he says, whatever is the matter, please give me the utterance to pray about it. Then I began to pray in tongues, and I lay there and prayed quietly to God for about an hour. Then I began to laugh and sing in tongues. What happened? When you feel that release, you've probably won. Then I began to pray in tongues. I lay there and prayed quietly to God for about an hour. Then I began to laugh and sing in tongues. When I got that note of victory in my praying, I knew that what I had been praying about had been prayed through. I had the answer, so I went back to sleep. Now watch this. This is how the spirit of prophecy and tongues work together. He prayed in tongues till he felt the answer. Both of these people said this, by the way. Prophecy is just or dreams or visions. It's just the revelation of what you've already prayed about or prayed in tongues about. Prophecy and tongues are closely related. I can't go there yet, Lord. But watch this, so you understand that the praying went on. And so he says, I went to sleep after that, and guess what I did? I dreamed that I saw my youngest brother in a motel in Louisiana. I saw him awaken at midnight. I saw someone summon the doctor, and I saw an ambulance come. I saw them put my brother in an ambulance, and I saw the red light flashing as they took him to the hospital. In the dream, I stood in the corridor of the hospital just outside his door. When the doctor came out, he pulled the door closed behind him, and then he saw me standing there. He shook his head and said, "He is dead." In the dream, I said, "No, doctor, he's not dead. The Lord told me he would live and not die." The doctor became angry and said, "I know when people are dead. I have pronounced many hundreds of people dead." He grabbed me by the hand and said, "Come, I'll show you for yourself." He opened the door, led me to the bed, and jerked the sheet from my brother's face. When he did, he saw that my brother was breathing and his eyes were open. The doctor said, "Why, you knew something I didn't know. He is alive. He is alive, isn't he?" I saw my brother rise up well. 3 months later, we came back to Texas. My brother stopped by to see me, and said to me, "I nearly died while you were gone." He said, "Yes, I know. You were down in Louisiana, weren't you? It was in the nighttime, and you had an attack, and you were taken to the hospital in an ambulance." "Yes. How did you know?" he asked. See, understanding how to flow and pray in tongues is not just about having a good goosebump on Sunday morning. It could be life or death. And so we have a vision here to have prayer 24 hours a day. And to have prayer watches. So if that's the case, you're going to be very bored unless you understand how to begin to get the download from heaven and begin to birth. There's 28 gifts that I'm going to try to get to. This may take me all year because I want to go in depth on each one. I could preach on intercession for the next 3 weeks and might do that because I believe it's critical to who we are as a people. So, now let me show you some things in Scripture. I hate that time is passing by. But I need you to say something with me. Say, the future belongs to the intercessors. That's a fact. I hate to break the news to you, but Donald Trump will not determine what happens in America this year. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump wasn't smart enough to get elected in America this time. The future belongs to the intercessors. Somebody was crying out, "Lord, don't give us Hillary Clinton or there's no hope for this nation." And they got so scared that they quit praying a little sissified prayer, and some of them started pushing back a plate and said, "God save America." And then after it happened, they went back to sleep and haven't prayed since. Boy, we dodged a bullet there. Trouble is coming. Donald Trump or no Donald Trump, trouble is coming. That's why the Lord is saying it's time for the watchman to return to the wall. So, and this house will always be on the forefront of intercession. It's who we are. But the future belongs to the intercessors. Now look at this. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it says this. God here says, "I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it." So God is saying, I'm going to have to destroy this land. But there's one thing that can keep me from destroying the land. An intercessor. So he says, "I'm searching." Look at it again. "I searched for a man who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it." In other words, God right now at this moment has a choice to destroy it or not destroy it. And what it's contingent upon is whether or not he can find a man that'll pray. You better let that sink in. You just think God's in control and he's already predetermined everything. No, God said I was looking for someone to stop me from doing this, and I found no one. So I poured out my indignation upon them. Now this means, he says, I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. The way I have brought them upon their heads, declares the Lord. Do you get that? God said, I did not want to bring wrath upon this land, but I brought wrath because I couldn't find anybody to interfere with it in the earth. If that don't wake you up. So he was looking for someone to intercede. Now, what does it mean to intercede? It means to go or pass between. It means to act between two parties, to reconcile those who differ. It means to mediate, to get between two extremes, to get between two parties as the equal friend of each. To negotiate between two persons. Here, I'll use y'all two. Come here. Y'all are fighting each other. Just there's intercession. This is intercession. Do it again. I want you to get this in your head. See, intercession is me getting between. More you do it, that's the point. They don't just... See, they kept trying to fight even though I stepped between. So I got to keep standing in between until I win. And see, I love them both. Intercession is getting between... Thank you. Somebody is going to hell tonight. Somebody is going while I'm speaking. Intercession is getting between that person and Satan and saying, no, devil, stop right in your tracks. Hello? It means to get in between. Don't you feel that weight in here right now? World's going to hell. Yesterday at the meeting we were in, the guy told everybody in the room to set their stopwatch on the clock for 20 minutes. He said, all of you at the same time, push start and make it go off in 20 minutes. When the 20 minutes was up, how many people did he say? I mean, in that 20 minutes. 52 people, wasn't it? Or something. 4,000 people... 4,000 people in that 20 minutes went into eternity. Now, how serious are we about prayer? I'm convinced we really don't care that people are going to hell. We really don't. But I believe the Lord wants to bring... See, we're talking about harvest. Before we can have harvest, we have to have laborers. And the labor is first done by getting between the devil and them through prayer. So, intercession means to get between. It means to represent someone to another. Now, here's talking about Jesus. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able... also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. What's Jesus do? What is Jesus? My Savior, brother. We're so stuck on Jesus being Savior. That's what he did in the past. But what is he doing currently? What is he doing currently? My God, he's getting between the devil and you. When the accuser of the brethren comes and says he's a low-down, dirty dog, he steps right between God and Satan and says, no, Daddy, I'm between them. So when the devil comes and starts to make you feel condemned about your mess you did yesterday. Because you don't know this, you think God's up there about ready to strike you down and strike you dead. But Jesus stepped right in the middle when Satan came to accuse you. He said, no, baby, I'm interceding on their behalf. I'm about to feel Jesus. Now here it is, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Oh, I feel Jesus all over here. Anybody got any sin trouble? Don't you lie. Watch it now. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if you do, but if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The word advocate is the word lawyer, legal advisor. So when you sin, the enemy comes to the court of heaven and accuses you, and you got the best lawyer, one better than money can buy. Jesus is the advocate who steps in and pleads your case, and He doesn't have to argue very much. All He has to do is say, I offered up my blood already in advance for them. Your lawyer says, here's my blood covering them. You have no right to accuse them. They are free. They are justified. They do not have to pay the penalty. He says, baby, I already paid their penalty. Come on, you better get that. He says, I already took care of it. When He comes to accuse, all He's got to do is say, look at that blood over there, Daddy. Right here's all I got to say. While you walk around in condemnation, His role, it's one who comes forward or in behalf and as of a representative of another. Now watch this. See, when we say intercession, you probably think intercession is prayer. It's not. What I showed you, getting between, is intercession. Prayer is the means. Intercessory prayer is the means by which we do get between. So that's why we have to raise up intercessors. Hello. So, we use prayer to get between God and someone else. God and someone else also. Or between the devil and someone else. Do you understand? Oh, man. We are the go-between. We started this talking about Billy Graham. When Billy Graham dies, it'll be the greatest harvest the world has ever seen. Not if there's not laborers. And if not, and there's not going to be... What's it say about laborers? Intercede! Pray for laborers to come. So we're the go-between. Hear this. And see, here's where we get into trouble. You are an intercessor. You get between. Well, one of the main places you get between is the world, the sinner, and God. Because the sinner cannot get his prayer answered from God. God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. The only way they can get a prayer to Him is through you. And intercession is you getting between the sinner and God and taking what they need to God, and He'll answer you. Now see, prayer evangelism is the key to the harvest. Because all Bubba that's a sinner and token and smoking, no, all he knows is his back hurts.
All he knows is there's cancer in his body. All he knows is he has cirrhosis of the liver, and he can't do anything about it. But our job is to get between him and take that to the throne room of God. See, we can go boldly before the throne, and we can take his need before the throne, and the Lord heals him, and then he says, what must I do to be saved? This guy fixed me. This guy healed me, so I could, the least I could do is serve him. Intercession. Getting in between. See all them people they're baptizing at Bethel? Where'd they come from? This right here. They didn't tell them they was going to hell. They didn't call them sinners. They didn't talk about their homosexuality. They didn't wire that great thing of, you're going to hell, you're a homosexual. See, the Lord's coming in. He's knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Will you let him in, friend? Will you let him in? So then prayer is the key to harvest. And one of the ways it's the key to the harvest is that it's evangelism. When they come to you for prayer and you take that on you and you take it before the throne and it happens. Anybody having fun yet? My Lord in heaven. It's 12:55. I didn't start at 15 after 12. That's 30 minutes later than I normally start. Do y'all want to remain ignorant or you want me to teach you? See, I learned in sales it's all about how you ask the question. No, brother, we will stay ignorant. Bye. See, if I say, do y'all want to leave or stay? I want to go home. I'm hungry. But do you want to remain ignorant? No. Okay, I'll teach you another hour. It's all about how you sell it. Prayer evangelism is the key to harvest. We can get their need to Jesus, but they can't. And we are told to bear the burden of others. Okay, let's skip all this. I don't want to quit. Okay. I'm not going to. Let me show you a couple of things. Can I show you a couple of things? Genesis 18:17. Now I'm showing you intercession now. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? The Lord said, I'm not going to do this without telling somebody. Oh, my. 9/11 didn't happen without God telling somebody. But some people stayed asleep. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. Abraham stood before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy and not spare for 50 righteous therein that be far from thee to do after this manner? Now we go on and on and on. And Abraham, guess where Abraham is? Between the judgment coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah and God. He's standing in the presence of God arguing on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is intercession. That's what intercession is. So, to cut down on some time, I'm not going to continue to read, but verse 17 says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation? The first thing, God reveals to intercessors what he's going to do before he does it. Now, if we go back and see, I searched for a man. I don't want to bring this judgment, and I'm looking for a man who will interfere with me doing the judgment, but I couldn't find one. So I'm going to have to go ahead and do it. Well, we see that same thing here again. God reveals to intercessors what he's going to do. Now, if I go back in the years, looking at, I drugged Tommy to church. Me and Tim started out by playing drums, Tim playing guitar, crying out to God. Folks, we've been watching and praying for over 15 years. Why? Because he showed us what he wanted to do in Bluefield. What we've been doing for 15 years. Praying over what he showed us. Because he shows first and foremost the intercessors what he desires to do. So God reveals to intercessors what he's going to do. Then it says in verse 22, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Second thing about intercessors, they stand before the Lord on behalf of men. What is an intercessor? Someone who stands before the Lord on behalf of men and pleads their case to him. What's God going to do? Is Bluefield going to be saved, or is it going to be judged? Who determines that? Now, the next thing is, now here's the definition. I told you what an intercessor, the gift of intercession is. It's the ability and a special grace from God to pray about something until it happens. There's tenacity. That's the next thing you need to see. Intercessors have great tenacity. When you saw Abraham dealing with God about Sodom, he didn't ask for 50 and then quit. He took God all the way down to one. See, that's the picture of intercession. I'm gonna keep banging on the door, Lord. I'm going to keep banging until I win for these people. You see that? Verse 33. And the Lord went his way as soon as he left communing with Abraham. What in the world do y'all do? I can't see how you pray for hours. You pray all night? No, I commune with God all night. I get tired when I pray, but I don't ever get tired of hanging out with Daddy. Intercessor, he said God said he'd been communing with Abraham. So intercessors communicate and commune with God. They have an intimate relationship with him. You go read it, Exodus 32, verse 7 through 14, you'll find again. Moses is up on the mountain, gets the law, comes back down. The people build a calf. And what's God say? I'm wiping them people out. What's Moses do? You go read it. Moses stands before, gets in the face of God on behalf of the people. Intercession. You go study it. You go read it. Exodus 32, verse 7 through 14. Exodus 32, just read the whole chapter of Exodus 32. Now I'm going to close with this. Why is it important to pray? Think about this now. See, here's a problem. Why do I want to pray when God already has everything under control? I might quit before I say it. I think I'll quit before I say it. But you have to understand. I want you to think about that and ponder on it over the week. Prayer don't make any sense. God's in control. You think on it. You ponder on it. Why do y'all pray so much at that church? I mean, what? Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. My God's in control. No, he ain't. God is not in control of this earth. And that's why we have weak prayer lives, because we don't realize he's not in control. I'll just leave it hanging out there for a long time till we come back and join again. I need you to understand carry, Lord, the sins. Not on our watch, Lord. America shall not go to hell on our watch, God. Bluefield shall not be forsaken on our watch, God. The drug epidemic is not going to happen on our watch, God. Homosexuality is not going to stand on our watch, Lord. Because we're going to get on our watch, and the watchmen are going to be on the wall and move realms and greater levels of intercession to get between the judgment of God and the people. So, Lord, I thank you right now in this room. God, I pray that every person in this room would get a revelation that they're the only thing keeping somebody from going to hell. Whether they're saved or not depends on us. Whether they go to hell or not depends on us. Come on, I feel the Lord wanting to stir that. We've got loved ones that we need saved, but we still want to eat all the time we want to eat and drink all the time we want to drink and watch TV all the time we want to watch TV and use our cell phone all the time we want to use our cell phone, and we want Him to do it. But we are the ones standing between them and hell. It's up to you. God, let us see. It's up to us. If they live or die, God, it's up to us. Come on, pray. If they live or die, God, it's up to us. Let the mantle of intercession fall on this house, God. Night and day and day and night and night and day and day and night. Come on, He who watches over Israel never sleeps nor slumbers. Lord, let the spirit of prayer come on this house. Let the spirit of intercession come on this place. Lord, I release the gift of intercession now. Lord, let the gift, I activate the gift in this house right now, Lord. The gift to pray for long periods of time until heaven responds. Birth this house. Baptize us in the power of intercession. When Zion travails, she brings forth her children, calls us to travail, calls us to get between. Baptize us, God. Lord, give us a revelation of hell. God, I ask for dreams in the night. I ask for visions of people burning in hell. I ask that you give us the revelation of the stench of burning flesh. Lord, give us the revelation that we're standing between them and hell. Come on, I feel it. Come on, pray. Many sons and daughters. We decree and declare many sons and daughters. We'll birth them, Lord, in the prayer room. Calls us to birth sons and daughters. Calls us to birth sons and daughters. Pulling them out of hell. Pulling them out of hell. Pulling them out of hell. Come on, that's it. Pulling them out of hell. Come on, pull them out. Sons and daughters. Grandsons, granddaughters. You're not going to hell. Come on, that's it. Release it, God. Release the spirit of intercession. Groanings which cannot be uttered. Hours and hours and hours of prayer. Come on, that's it. Birth that thing. Come on, you're standing between them and hell. They're going to hell without you. They're going to hell without you. It's only between you and them. Come on, don't stop. Let that go. You can go home in a little bit. Spirit of prayer, come to Father's House International Church, Lord. Watchmen on the wall, we release the watchman's anointing over this house. They'll come from the north, south, east, and west if we pray. Come on, if you want to hit the altar, hit the altar. Come on, cry out. Sons and daughters, come on, that's it. That's breaking into the realms of prayer. You're the only one that can save them. You're the only one that can keep them out of hell. Come on, pray. Not on our watch, God. Not on our watch. Not on our watch, Lord. Not on our watch, you won't, devil. Come on, that's it. Yes, Lord, do what I cannot do. Release it out of their womb, God. It's up to you, but I would suggest that you fill the altar. We say not on our watch, God. Not on our watch, God.
Make this a house. Make this house
Christ.
Day and night and day.
Sex trafficking right here in Bluefield. We say no, Lord. Come on, there's sex trafficking going on right here in Bluefield. Abuse in McDowell County. We say no, God, right now. Right now, we say no! We say no, Lord. Pornography, we say no, Lord. Homosexuality, we say no, Lord. Lesbianism, we say no, Lord. Perversion, we say no, Lord. Not on our watch. Adultery, we say no. Not on our watch, God. Not on our watch, God. Of heart from your church, God. Hardness towards sinners, remove it, God. Pierce our hearts, God. Hardness of heart, break it. Too busy worrying about church buildings and pews and missing that the world is going to hell. We repent of it, God. happens when you begin to release it.
Thank you. Won't you pray through me, pray through me, when I don't know how to pray? Won't you groan through me, groan through me, when I don't know what to say? Won't you pray through me, pray through me, when I don't know how to pray? Church can be. an army that's rising up. Stands before me an army, and you're rising up. I said this church is an army, and we're rising up to break every chain. I declare them broke in Jesus' name. The chains that's bound this city down, I declare broken in Jesus' name. Oh, now that's all that's left is us for to go out and get those free people that don't even know they're free yet. Because today we have declared them free in Jesus' name. They don't even know it, but they're free in Jesus' name. Oh, now I say to you, who's going to be the one to go out and get? Which one of you is going to be the one to go out and bring him in?